knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, you know, it is still January, as is tradition,
yep.
You must go first.
Well, I have a bright, bright spot.
Nice.
Because, if you recall, I went out for a nice little lunch with my childhood best friend a little while back.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? Yesterday, we went out again. We did the whole thing. Him and his fiance, me and my wife,
wild.
We did the thing, which means that now we can escalate from childhood best friend to just adult regular friend.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I know when you y'all first got back in contact, you weren't sure, you know, like, yeah, who knows how this is going to be? I haven't seen this person in forever.
It could be weird.
Yeah.
I could have been an asshole for longer than I suspected.
Sure.
That would have caused resentment. Turns out I was medium bad.
Medium asshole.
Medium asshole, the appropriate amount for me, I guess.
Well, this is wonderful news.
Yeah, and then we went out to the Bone Temple, which makes this the most social week I've had for since maybe the pandemic.
Yeah.
In all honesty.
Because there's two things
that I have gone outside for.
And one of them involved a bone temple.
And both of them involved friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what it's all about, man.
I'm getting addicted to it.
Oh, no.
Maybe next month I'll go out two or three times.
This is... Your New Year's resolution was only that you were supposed to go out next New Year's.
Unprecedented.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm excited to see what this you talking to people
this
brings.
This new social exploration.
It's either going to completely change you, or someone's going to murder you.
That is entirely possible. What is that? Was that? Is that Patch Adams? Ah, shit.
What? Someone's gonna murder you? I don't think so.
Okay.
I haven't seen Patch Adams in forever.
Okay.
But it was silly.
I think he gets murdered at the end of it.
I don't think that's true. I really don't think Patch
Adams. I'm thinking either of Patch Adams or Red Dragon. And I'm not sure which is which.
I think you might be thinking of Pay It Forward.
Oh! Does he get murdered?
That kid gets killed at the end of, spoiler
no.
alert, for Pay
no.
It Forward. Yeah. Yes.
I may be
talking right out of my ass, but like I really don't think Patch Adams gets murdered.
I listen, I'm not gonna die on that hill.
I think he's a silly doctor,
uh-huh.
and it's a dark movie because his patients are all sick.
Right.
I don't think he dies.
Or
he might die, but I think it's murder.
Well, we all die.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Sure.
Whew. Man, he bummed me out. Thinking about someone shanking Patch Adams.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's how that movie ends. I hope I didn't rewrite that movie to end that way for some personal reason.
We may never know.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're looking it up.
I am.
Now we're looking it up because there's no way Dan can continue unless we find out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. This is extra vamping time for Jordan.
Here is the last line in the Wikipedia plot synopsis of Patch Adams.
Okay.
At graduation, Adams receives his Doctor of Medicine degree and, bowing to the professors and audience, reveals himself to be naked underneath his cap and gown.
Hey! So he doesn't get murdered at the end.
No.
Okay. Whew.
It appears that he is nude.
Okay. Now, I feel like that is a very different ending from the one that I thought was.
Yeah.
Maybe diametrically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's nude at his graduation ceremony, and then when he comes off stage, sniper.
Very different, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go back and revisit that.
No.
No.
That's just going to be disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
What?
I mean, it's your time.
Yeah, but you're supposed to ask,
what's your bright spot?
There you go.
What do you mean, what's your bright spot?
So it is January.
It is January.
And as is tradition, we have my Haribo advent calendar.
Indeed.
And it is time for a sting.
All right.
Haribo gummy advent calendar.
Thank you so much to Ryan for that. Bow, 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 bow.
That was great.
That was good.
That was really fun.
You're going to be hearing a lot more of that as you get social. You go out to the industrial clubs.
I'm going to hear British dance music from the early aughts.
It comes with being social.
All right. That's fair.
So today, the 19th, we've got Merry Christmas Haribos, which I've had like six times so far.
Well,
they're all over this damn calendar.
Well, I mean, it is a Christmas advent calendar, and there are only so many gummies. So
yeah, I understand that. But I know in advance, because I've already had this, that it's just basic-ass gummy bears.
Yeah.
But here we go. I'm going to try them while you vamp.
All right. My vamping today, I want to apologize. One of our shout-outs that will be upcoming sent me an email almost a full month ago, and I was like, I'm on it. And then it's now a month later, and I was not as on it as I was hoping. So you will know who you are. I won't reveal anything, but you will know who you are, and it is my apology to you.
Okay.
Now,
good vamp.
Thank you.
Not vamping about the Bone Temple, huh?
Nah. I mean, what is there to say about the Bone Temple other than it's fucking great?
Yeah, it was real good.
It's fucking great.
You know, better than those gummies is the Bone Temple.
Is the Bone Temple by a wide margin.
Woo! I was real worried. You know, we talked about it on the
last
episode.
Sure.
I was a little bit stressed out about it underwhelming, underperforming, ruining the taste of 28 years later
in
my mouth.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
Yep. So good.
Couldn't have made you more excited to see more.
Yeah.
You want to see it again.
I've tried to start a little bit of Oscar buzz best leading Bone Temple.
Best leading Bone Temple
motion picture.
How many ossuary movies do you think there are going to be in 2026?
Now?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a bunch.
You think we're...
Proof of concept. So,
okay,
here.
Okay. Like Hollywood's going to see Bone Temple and go, that's a moneymaker.
Yes. There's going to be a Charnel House documentary. It's going to be a movie. It's,
all right.
I
like
great.
It. Yeah. Okay.
Bones everywhere.
I mean, if there was an upcoming Bone Temple fad in a lot of movies, I wouldn't be against it.
No.
It's better than a lot of fads we've seen in movies.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Let's all just Bone Temple it up.
Also, I think we should have a retroactive Bone Temple. We should start putting Bone Temples in movies that have already been made. Like
Patch Adams?
Absolutely.
Should end with a Bone Temple.
You got there.
He's nude at graduation. He goes off stage.
And then his skull is placed on top of the Bone Temple by his son.
It's perfect.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about the 7th of January, 2026, also known as the day that ICE shot someone in the face.
Sure.
And we will discuss Alex's take on all of this.
Probably great.
It's so good.
Police State 4, great.
5.
Yay!
Forthcoming documentary about how the police state's cool, actually. And we'll get to this here in a second, but first let's take a moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, hey Dan, my policy wonk status was formally announced a few hundred episodes ago when you were super fucking depressed. I've re-listened many times over at reduced speeds, and I have to know, while you were in your dark place, did you kind of laugh when you read my policy wonk name? Sincerely yours, Dan's Jump Fart. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
No. Next, Maka, thank you for helping my dream of a bubble-blowing cigarette a reality. Can't wait to grow old with little old you. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And my husband is the biggest fan of your show. Shout out to my sexy best friend, Aaron. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technical credit in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Mark Moncrief. Thank you for being the best dad I could ever ask for. Listening to these guys on long drives has become a memory I will treasure for the rest of my life. Love you lots. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Jump fart did not happen. It's fake news. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is telling you,
no idea.
You have like audio of me talking about it in the past, let's say, it's a deep fake. And
did
not happen.
I like that. I like the new world we can live in where it's like, that just didn't happen, buddy.
It's a deep fake.
So
we start off the show here, and Alex is now in a place where, like, hey, we got away with it. We fucking overthrew Venezuela, and nothing happened.
It is better to ask forgiveness than permission. I believe that's maybe true.
Trump has paid. No consequence for it. There's been no political blowback.
None.
Nothing has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Alex is like, we just got to fucking empire this thing.
Right, go for it.
The old globalist New World Order system fell apart a long time ago, and people just figured that out. So there is the EU, there is Russia, there is China, there is the United States. And the United States still has more power projection than all of those groups together. But because of internal issues in the United States and because of our debt, the United States, at many levels, is in a great position, but also in a very bad position. So here's what's going on. You notice everything's accelerating faster and faster.
Slow down!
The EU and Communist China are in greater debt than even the United States. Their demographics are bad as well, even worse than ours. They need to expand territory. They need to put more money on their balance sheets or they will sink. It's the same thing with the United States. So you can debate whether the imperial activities of Trump and Manifest Destiny 2.0 are right or wrong from a moral perspective.
Can you debate that?
But there's no doubt that the reason Trump's doing what he's doing is that if he doesn't do this, the United States will not come out on top in this power reshuffle.
I can debate that.
So everybody is desperate. Europe's plan is to continue war with Russia. They believe take Russian territory and add that to their balance sheet. That's their official insane plan. China thinks they're going to project power all over the world and maintain economic control and somehow stay on top of that way. You've got the British Empire players that are trying to play all the different sides against each other. It is just unbelievable.
So this seems totally out of step with the entire storyline of Alex's career, and also notably out of step with how he's been trying to sell Trump's overthrowing of Venezuela so far.
Yeah.
That was supposed to have been based on the Monroe Doctrine,
right.
But now we've moved on to Manifest Destiny 2.0.
That's the scariest collection of words I think you could possibly hear.
And it sounds like somebody who just vaguely remembers junior high.
Yep.
You can't have been listening to InfoWars from before the Trump era and think that what Alex is saying isn't insane. There's no way he would have supported an American president recolonizing the world, even if it was Ron Paul. Like, this is fucking stupid.
Especially if your argument is to add to your balance sheet because there's too much debt. That's crazy.
Right.
Okay, see, here's the thing.
You're
we owe
to blow
too
up
much imaginary money, so let's take over a country.
Right.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be against, like, qualitative easing.
Yep.
Quantitative easing, excuse me. Like, the answer is take over countries.
Yeah. No. Okay, you're right.
Steal resources.
We do owe China $1 trillion. So how about we steal everything from Venezuela and then give it to China? Wait,
we're not
going
to give it to China.
We're going to keep it and then just continue to have more debt with China because it's all pretend.
Right.
It's all pretend.
Until, like, all the world has been taken over by the United States, Russia, and China, and then there's a big fucking war between the three of them.
No, like in a book.
Yeah, I think that Alex is real dumb.
Yeah,
and I think that what he's trying to put forth is dumb and really scary.
Yeah,
from a conceptual level, but degrading from an InfoWars perspective.
Yeah.
If someone had been listening to the show for a long time, hearing him say, like, the globalist order has been destroyed long ago, but people are just realizing it now. What the fuck were you crying about 6 months ago then? Like, what about the globalist proboscis? What about all this bullshit?
Sure.
Have you been lying about that the whole time then?
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Huh.
Maybe instead of worshiping your Christian God, I am a fan of the Prince of Lies. Turns out.
Old Nick.
Old Scratch.
Yep.
Yep.
So Alex is like, we gotta do this shit. We gotta fucking take people's stuff. Or else that's gonna be bad.
It is like you get a taste and then you just gotta have more.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
The United States needs the $18 trillion of oil and trillion of gold or more on the ballot sheet so the whole world sees us winning and that we're not in the same debt as China and the EU. And then the way the world works is they then say, oh, we're winning. Then they all rush to us to invest with us. And then we come out on top. And then we don't go into a total prolonged depression and you get your Social Security and the rest of it. People would say, well, that's empire and you know that's wrong. And okay, fine. Then just be ready for what's going to happen. Now, the empire building we've been doing for 40 years, really since World War II, 75, 80 years, but intensely for the globals for 40 years, has been at our expense and in our name and our treasure, demonizing us worldwide against our own interest. With Trump, you're getting strongman empire that is 100% for the general public because he understands he's got to stabilize the base for his own wealth.
He's a hospitality guy.
He's a hospitality guy.
He's a hospitality
guy. Okay, let me pitch you on Ocean's 14,
mm-hmm.
All right?
That might already exist.
In order to get $1 trillion worth of gold, Danny Ocean has to become president.
This is kind of just National Treasure.
But Nicolas Cage never became president.
He had to... Ooh, wait. Was that the third one that I wrote?
That, I think, was the third one that you wrote.
He had to become president to be buried in Arlington Cemetery.
Did you add canon?
Yeah, I did. No, wait. Doesn't he have to get to the presidential cemetery in the second one?
Yeah, but
he doesn't have to become president.
He doesn't. We're talking about somebody who has to steal the office of president.
Right.
How does he do it? He has who is it? Who's the Grease Man? The Grease Man is essentially Roger Stone,
mm-hmm.
right? We've got that going on. Then we've got the younger brother of Ben Affleck and then the son of James Caan.
Alex is the acrobat.
Yeah. I don't know what that. I don't know. They're like Steve Bannon. The two of them together are basically Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we gotta get a 14th guy. Let's call it Julia Roberts again.
Okay,
but actually Julia Roberts this time instead of
Bloomer.
Instead of the character playing Julia Roberts, played by Julia Roberts, being Julia Roberts, it's actually Julia Roberts.
Okay,
playing Julia Roberts.
Who's Brad Pitt?
Who is Brad Pitt? Like. As an existential question. He's been around for a long time.
Mel Gibson? We'll get Mel Gibson in there? Seems like he'd do it.
I mean, it seems like he would become president in both fictional and maybe real terms.
Okay, I got distracted by my old National Treasure ideas.
Yeah.
And I forgot what they have to do. They have to become
steal
president
$1 trillion of gold from Venezuela.
Okay.
Because apparently now we're cool with just saying, we're going to need $1 trillion of gold from Venezuela.
Yeah.
That's just what we say now.
Grab it.
Hey, we need that $17 trillion of oil from you and $1 trillion of gold.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that you're in our hemisphere because that's ours then.
Yeah. And again, you can't eat gold. Mm-hmm. There's no value it provides. All purely imaginary.
Sure. Well, you can.
Well, you
can.
Put
it in Goldschlager.
That's true. That's true. You can eat gold. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let them eat gold.
Yeah.
Huh?
So look, man, I think that you could probably argue that there was a world order.
Sure.
And Trump may be creating a new one.
That's possible.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have to start talking about how there's a new world order.
Oh, yeah?
People look at Trump and this military expansionism, and they say, oh, my God, it's neocons 2.0. I'm not defending even what he's doing. It's academic. We should have a discussion about it. But you should know the basic pieces to it. This is a whole new ballgame. The old New World Order globalist plan is done.
Old New World Order.
I told you a decade ago it was already done. And it's officially done, and they admit it's done.
And
now
tell them
is the mad scramble to form the future global system.
The new
instead
New
of
World
a centralized
order.
New World Order globalist transhumanist anti-human system, the natural order would be a tripolar world. and the negotiations between that tripolar system and its affiliates.
Cool.
Europe doesn't have a place at that tripolar.
And Africa doesn't exist. Their
demographics and all of it. So they're trying to threaten Russia, holding a gun to everybody's head, with war to keep themselves central players. And to hold together the British Empire, Bilderberg, Western Europe model, and use that to control U.S. foreign policy to be the backstop for their plan. That's not working.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a natural order.
Yeah.
Which is a new world order.
Yeah.
Which is in juxtaposition with the old new world order.
Right.
Which then was a response to the old world order.
Right.
Or something.
Yeah.
And the natural way that things exist are there's Russia, China, and the United States.
Yes. And that's no one lives between Cairo and Joburg.
No.
Period. Zero people live there.
Affiliates.
Fuck me. What even is that? That's cruel.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That's
it.
We're going from like, Ron Paul to like, hey, listen, there's three countries and their affiliates that are the world.
Right.
Yeah.
It's three countries and their colonies.
Yeah.
And like, we talked years and years ago about how like he just needs to get right with the fact that he just wants colonialism back, and that's kind of where we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yep.
He just believes that certain countries have their spheres, their superpowers, and they should fight over affiliates where they can pillage and plunder all the resources.
Yeah.
And fuck the people who are there.
What a weird thing to be cool with.
Yeah. Especially for him.
Yeah.
That's the issue, too. Obviously, it's not the main issue. The main issue is this is a horrible worldview.
Sure.
But off to the side of that just a little bit is, hey, buddy, do you remember who you are? It's not like you just wake up and everyone has forgotten continuity.
Yeah.
Just because his show is allowed to exist without any like context doesn't mean that the rest of the world does.
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I mean, it's hard to argue anything other than if there is a tripolar world and its affiliates, right, then those three countries together, were they to make decisions for the world, would indeed have a one-world government.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would eventually become one.
It would have to be.
More explicitly.
It would have to be a one-world government.
And for now,
yep,
there is no reason why the rest of the countries who aren't considered part of this to not think of those three as real valid targets.
Yep.
I think that anybody who doesn't want to just be an affiliate would be right to overthrow the United States.
Now would be a good time to start causing some problems.
Yeah, it seems like Alex's worldview implies that.
If you would like a more than tripolar world, this is a infomercial at 2 in the morning. If you want a more than tripolar world,
do you feel like an affiliate?
For just the price of a cup of coffee a day, you can overthrow
fucking
a government.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to get Greenland. That's coming.
What?
That's coming next.
Sure, fine.
The U.S. has seized a Russian oil tanker that was taking oil out of Venezuela. That's a major provocation with Russia. But is Trump openly flexing? Even bigger, you have Denmark saying, quote, we will shoot first and ask questions later over Greenland. Denmark is saying that the government of Greenland, which it claimed more than 40 years ago, is autonomous from the royal family of Denmark. Now they're saying, read the fine print, you're actually still a vassal of Denmark.
Gotcha.
See, the royal families just said they weren't in charge anymore in Europe and the UK. No, they are. Canada's still under the royal family's control. The governor general can dissolve parliament if they don't like the votes in Canada. Same thing in Australia. You think the British Empire doesn't exist anymore because it went into stealth mode. And so Marco Rubio's going over there and Greenland's like, absolutely, we'll take tens of billions of investment. We'll become a U.S. protectorate. It's key to the resources in the Arctic, China moving in, Russia moving in with all their icebreakers, all of it. It's critical for refueling. It's the move we saw with the U.S. expanding during Manifest Destiny in its first 175 years or so. And buying Alaska from the Russians and the Spanish-American War in 1898. So all that went on before the neocons showed up, before Trotsky fled Russia when Stalin was trying to kill him and came over here and set up the neocons and National Review and took over. That's them. That old system's bye-bye. And that doesn't say I endorse this. I'm simply saying Trump is obsessed with the 18th and 19th century. He follows it. His planners are. And they are trying to reboot the country with the Teddy Roosevelt model. Because bigger than Monroe, it was President Roosevelt, Teddy, not Franklin, who really implemented the Monroe Doctrine.
Alex just sounds stupid.
Yeah, he sounds real dumb.
Yeah.
This sounds dumb.
It's not even like he doesn't know things. Mm. It's just like conceptually this is dumb.
Yeah.
I think that great. Go get Greenland.
This has such a weird flavor.
You're not going to be happy
of like giving a book report on a book you've never even seen the cover of.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the idea of saying Trump is obsessed with the 18th and 19th centuries. What? What the fuck are you talking about?
His planners. Oh, Dave, he has planners?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I thought he's not supposed to have planners.
You were supposed to tell us about fucking where the red fern grows, and instead you're telling me that Trump is obsessed with the 18th and 19th century.
Bully.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he loves Teddy Roosevelt.
He loves Teddy Roosevelt. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Yeah, I think that there's some stuff he's not taking into account.
Maybe.
I think that this is a little bit insular. I think this is a little bit dumb.
And yeah.
It's just not taking into account 100 different variables that exist in the world, have existed over history. He's oversimplifying to a level that...
They didn't exist in the 18th and 19th century?
Some of them did. Some of them did. It's just embarrassingly oversimplified to a point where like anybody who had actually... You know, maybe studied, or maybe who has a history background.
Mm-hmm.
You'd hear this and you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
You sound like a kid who didn't do his homework.
Even with a cursory, like skimming over a couple of history textbooks, you would still not get here.
Yeah. And the thing that I want to point out is that I don't think that Alex is that stupid.
I don't know if you can be that stupid.
No, I don't think that he is.
Yeah.
This is just the only way to not say what he really wants, which is a white supremacist imperial dictatorship run by Trump.
Yeah.
And he wants that.
Yeah. 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 I remember how I was talking about how great Rome was.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I still think Rome was great.
Yeah.
And I would like to be one.
Yeah.
With a Caesar. Let me know if it goes wrong.
It's a good idea. Good idea.
Mm.
So the UN and the EU maybe not thrilled with some of Trump's actions.
What? Like, why?
Well, I mean, he overthrew Venezuela.
Sure.
He's talking about taking
Denmark.
Well,
Venezuela wasn't in the United Nations.
Yeah, but Denmark owns Greenland, and they are a NATO country.
Sure.
And that's a little dicey.
Mm.
So anyway.
Then we have the EU and NATO saying, the chairman of the Austrian Committee for NATO... enlargement, if you take it, Greenland, we will take every single U.S. base from Ivano to Ramstein, from Romania to all their military bases. They will be confiscated, and you will lose it. If you go extreme, we go extreme. That's great. Let's get out of NATO. Let's let Europe defend itself so it stops starting fights with Russia. Let's call their bluff. They got the other EU heads saying it. They don't like the commission. But the point is, behind the scenes, I can tell you, and I said this before it hit the news yesterday, that Russia and China actually like this.
What?
They understand the globalist.
How could you imagine that?
About this.
What?
Why should we let Brussels and the UN and NATO dictate to everybody? No, Russia controls its sphere. China has its sphere. The United States has its sphere.
Yeah, what a shocking bit of news that Alex has somehow figured out through back channels. Oof. That Russia and China are thrilled with this discord among the Western countries.
Can't imagine.
Huh. Mm. It's pretty hard to listen to Alex and not feel like he's trying to create the conditions for a new world war.
Yeah.
There's just no way around this is where this leads.
I mean, we're literally going World War One too. We're not even doing a good one. No. We're going with just like, hey, we've got a petty squabble between people who know each other. Anyways, let's kill tens of millions of people.
Yeah, or I guess maybe like a Cold War that is fought through proxies and affiliates.
Which
and
was great for like so that. Many affiliates over the time.
And Alex definitely didn't have any criticism of that proxy war kind of stuff.
And if you never forget, then you definitely don't think that maybe those proxy wars had something to do with 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alex also just, he needs to do more work than just skim tweets when he's talking about stuff like world wars and his desire to create a new world order. That guy that he's talking about at the beginning of the clip is a guy named Gunther Hechlinger Jahn, and his bio on Twitter says that he's the, quote, Chairman Austrian Committee for NATO Enlargement Balkans Plus. He runs an advocacy group that's in favor of NATO enlargement, but he has no formal connection to NATO, and he doesn't speak for them. Alex is reporting this guy's comments on Twitter as if they were the position of NATO, and he's doing that because he's lazy, sloppy, and doesn't give a shit about this.
Yeah.
He's saying that NATO is saying they're going to take away all bases and everything based on a fucking guy on Twitter.
Yeah. So I know it's going to be tough, and I don't know how it gets pulled off, but there needs to be a nationwide, probably worldwide, let's just face it, like a social media recall, you know, like, we fucked up. We know we fucked up, but we still got to have it. So we're going to take a couple weeks off, retool things, and then bring it back in a better way. Because the way it's going now,
social
it's not
media?
Good. Yeah. We can't be doing that.
No.
This Twitter shit.
It's unsustainable.
Come on, you got to get this shit out of here.
Sure. And even beyond that, Facebook too, all of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when a product is defective in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
You're able, like, if a toaster causes fires.
Yeah.
People are able to, like, say, hey, this is not safe for consumers.
Totally.
You got to fix that coil or
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, social media, we got to do that.
If your car literally drove you insane, you'd go, we should not do this car.
Yes.
We should get a different car. This is a Stephen King novel. This is a Stephen King novel. This thing that I bought is driving me insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you put it that way.
It does feel crazy, doesn't it?
It does. So, Alex, I know from listening to his show for many years, is a big fan of the Constitution, loves checks and balances, loves it. Can't get enough of the idea that, like, a unitary executive power unchecked by other branches of government is dangerous.
Absolutely terrible idea.
So now, here we are.
These are the few areas Trump can get something done because the Justice Department's so corrupt, he can't really act as much as he wants to domestically, but he can militarily. DHS is a newer agency. He's got better people than there. 2,000 hit Minneapolis, St. Paul alone. Reportedly, 500 arrests just the last day. I mean, the left's going crazy right now. So anywhere Trump can get his agenda through, he's doing it with flying colors. Anywhere he can't, he runs into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Wow.
He shouldn't have to run into those brick walls of the few vestiges of checks and balances existing. He can get his shit done in places where he can act like a dictator.
Man, I remember growing up and hearing so much bullshit from like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity about how what they want is a government that couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
That should, if the government
the government
is,
that governs least is the government that governs
you
best.
You bet. Absolutely. Bullshit like that. Just like, no, you want them in gridlock because if they work, shit goes terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are.
Yeah.
What you want is a kleptocratic and corrupt billionaire to be the sole power in your world.
And look, it sucks that he can only exert his will through the military, and
sure.
That's kind of why he's got to do it that way.
It does make sense.
These
it does make
fucking
sense.
Assholes.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Got to give it to him.
So anyway, they're only acting like this, and really, the world has only come to this point.
Yeah.
Because whites are so under attack.
That doesn't sound true, but I'll believe you.
Yeah, it's not true, but it is how Alex feels.
And that's the communist model. Crash the economic system, crash the capitalist system with corruption and overload, then offer communism and redistribution of wealth and seizing the means of production and seizing private property. And they've already made it racial. Mondavi,
you mean like $1 trillion of gold?
Says we're going to take white people's homes. I got the clips. And in the UK last year, they said white men get 3 times the sentence of anyone else. And it's official, and they're doing it. And they also
official.
Said, there's too many brown people in prison. We're going to release them no matter what and have quotas for white people.
Sounds true.
And then they put white people in for praying for 3 years and you rape a 10-year-old girl, no time.
Obvious.
I have them in Parliament. I have the laws. It's on screen right now. You cannot make this up. And the leftist globalist control systems are the same from Australia to Germany to the UK to the US. Anytime they need to, any tyranny they're carrying out, they just say, oh, it's for the brown people. Then they can activate the leadership of the brown people who are NGO globalists, who communists, to burn everything down anytime we get out of line. And then we're the white supremacists. Figure this out yet?
You figure it out?
Absolutely not.
I figured it out.
Yeah.
I figured Alex out.
Yeah, that is figure outable.
So to be clear, what Alex is saying here is just classic white supremacist talking points. In its early stages, white supremacists and Nazis had very clear and open affinity for anti-communist extremists, for some fairly obvious reasons. Communists and Nazis have historically been at odds with each other, so that alliance makes sense. But the connection for white supremacists isn't as direct. Anti-communist propaganda has historically presented every attempt by the oppressed, and often non-white people, to escape their oppressors as being a plot the communists are using to disrupt the natural order of things. Communist parties and organizations are often on the side of groups that opposed systems like South African apartheid, so it was easy for anti-communist propagandists to conflate the two and create the impression that no one would be complaining about apartheid if it weren't for those pesky communists making black South Africans feel like they should attack the white people. Over time, this connection became a central pillar of the anti-communist worldview and a way for people on the extreme right wing to express white supremacist views without feeling like they were being super racist. They could pretend that they would be in favor of civil rights, but they couldn't possibly endorse them in the 60s because all of that was just communist agitation. If only there were some call for equal rights that wasn't communist agitation, they would totally get behind it.
But it's impossible.
Right.
There's just none.
Right. And this system has worked out perfectly to the point where we are now.
Yeah.
And that is what Alex is expressing.
I mean, it's one of the great mergers. If there was, I remember reading something from, there's this business podcast about people, and man, made me want to start capitalism fires. But anyways, their show is about successful mergers and shit like that. This one is the most successful one.
Yeah.
You know, like the two of them could not have gotten on better and then continued to light fires more.
It serves their own interests, each interest perfectly to the point where you now start to wonder if they are even different interests.
Is there any separation between the two?
Yeah.
I can't think so.
Mamdani didn't say that he was going to seize white people's property, and all that other stuff Alex is saying is just bullshit. His tenant director, Sia Weaver, posted a tweet in 2019 that said, quote, "Private property, including and kind of especially home ownership, is a weapon of white supremacy masquerading as wealth-building public policy."
Sure.
Alex doesn't know who Weaver is, and he has no idea what she actually tweeted. He's just responding to people getting all worked up about libs of TikTok posting about her tweet.
Right.
And trying to make the appearance that Mamdani is going to steal white people's property.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard whenever people have competent theory behind what they're saying, because that's easy to exploit.
Yeah.
You know?
That tweet is totally fair and makes a fine point,
100%.
But it is very easy for people to exploit. Like
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to get a clear explanation from somebody if all you hear from them is them screaming like, redlining is bad! But it's very similar in content to what she was expressing.
Yeah.
You know, but one of those is going to get you on libs of TikTok.
Private property and home ownership are not in and of themselves white supremacist or a function of white supremacy necessarily.
Right.
But they are tools that have been used in a way to reinforce white supremacist policies.
Absolutely.
And leanings within organizations.
Yeah.
So, like, it makes sense. It's not that inflammatory.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex seems to be struggling with the reality that he has to move on from the globalists now because it's kind of, he said it's over. There's a new world order.
There is a new
world
order.
And it's good.
I guess.
And so he tries to explain it to the audience in ways that they can possibly understand.
Nice.
Like The Hobbit.
Good.
Movies.
Right, so
no. Boo.
He's had a part of their brains. The old globalist system has fallen. And now there is a power vacuum with the major powers of the world trying to flood in to grab all the different resources and different things to establish the new political landscape.
Order.
And I would use the analogy of The Hobbit, where at the end of the book, they've killed Smaug.
Smaug.
He's got the biggest treasure trove in the world that he'd stolen from the dwarves. And so the five different races of Middle-earth hear about it, and they all go rushing towards the Lonely Mountain to try to get control of the giant treasure hoard. And that's where we are right now. And so China's running around grabbing stuff from the Philippines and Vietnam and moving into Africa and Latin America and trying to get the Panama Canal. And Russia just wants to secure its borders and not be attacked by Europe, that openly says their business model is to take over Russia, which is totally insane, and, quote, break it in five pieces. So we're going back to what was always done before. And under the globalists, they were doing it corporately, going around taking over the world and proliferating weapons. So we are now entering the battle of five armies. But instead of five armies, it's the Chi-Coms, the Russians. You've got the America First Trump people. You've got the British Empire playing both sides. The U.S. off against each other.
Sure.
Then you've got Islam.
Just Islam. Just Islam.
And then you've got
Islam.
Christians standing up for what's right and getting politically involved in praying.
Wouldn't you consider those
so
part
I
of
guess
the America
there
First
is the Battle of Five Armies. And that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. It's interesting that the America First Trump people are a separate group in Alex's mind from the Christians who are doing the right thing and praying.
Yep. It is very strange.
So The Hobbit, the Battle of the Five Armies, isn't really that important, but it was expanded into its own movie for the Peter Jackson trilogy, so this tracks for Alex.
Oh, that makes sense. I was going to say, because it was like, that's just a conversation about pride and greed and being stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the point at the end of The Hobbit is that Bilbo, the main character, turns down his share of the treasure and goes back to the Shire. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't need or want riches, he only takes a little and ironically ends up with the ring. This is like,
of course,
he like it's not that like you wouldn't think of the Battle of Five Armies as being like this is what The Hobbit is leading to.
Yeah,
unless you were going based on the movies.
Right. That makes sense.
What's going on right now is that Alex is trying to shed the baggage of the globalists and pivot his content into a new world order era. But he doesn't have any other real tricks than this battle of good and evil stuff.
Yeah.
And so the globalists are Smaug.
Right.
And now they've been defeated.
Right.
And so now China's the goblins. Islam is the wargs.
I mean, in a way, like, I don't know. I never saw the movies because I assumed they would be a horrible bastardization of something that I really loved.
Yeah.
But there was no good and evil in any battle of these armies. There was not a good and evil. There were people being prideful and stupid.
Yeah.
People being greedy and holding. People not being able to distribute fairly.
Yeah.
Then there's the River Lords. Then you've got everybody. And then at the end of it, it's like they fought. And then we figured it out.
Yeah. The dwarves, elves, and humans all wanted the gold.
Yeah. They weren't on the same team.
No.
Nobody was on the same team.
Until the goblins came.
Right.
And then they got together and those three armies fought against the goblins in the war. Wargs.
Right. But again, they still just wanted shit for themselves.
Yeah. And I've not seen those movies myself either.
No.
Because I was deeply traumatized by getting high and watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy too many times.
That'll happen.
And I'm not watching another one. But
so good.
I do know from just being kind of like a light movie guy who has awareness, I know that the Peter Jackson's, like, he only meant to make two.
Yeah.
Of The Hobbit, and then he had to make three. And in order to do that, he had to expand the Battle of the Five Armies into like something that was much bigger than it was in the original text.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, this is just another example of Alex being a movie guy.
Man, the best part of The Hobbit is that it's a light, quick, and awesome story told well.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need three movies out of that.
You certainly don't.
Jesus.
So, Alex, remember that fake NATO guy from earlier that Alex saw on Twitter?
Yeah.
Alex plays the clip of this guy and then sounds like a fucking baby.
Top member on the Committee of NATO Enlargement, Chairman
Flinger of the NATO Enlargement Committee, the NATO Conquest Committee. Nice. If you take him in Greenland, we will take every single U.S. base in Europe. Good, good. Here it is.
If you take it, we take every single base of the Americans from Aviano to Ramstein, from Romania to all the other military bases will be confiscated and you will lose it. And the whole position of American power since World War II, if you take Greenland, you have to leave. It's very simple, Mrs. Miller. This is the leverage we have. You need the spaces for global power protection. You won't have it. And we can defend ourselves very well. And we will do that without the U.S. nuclear shield, without the U.S. troops in Europe, without the American bases. We will simply run these bases ourselves. And we run your boys home into Chicago and Ohio. And goodbye. If you go extreme, we go extreme as well. Be sure about it.
That is the biggest bluff I've ever seen. The bases without our weapons and satellite control of the weapons are worthless. 85% of Europeans in major polls are going to run and aren't going to be conscripted to fight. They want us to get into a direct war with Russia. We're basically already in one. And so, if you go make a deal with Greenland that you claim was independent, now we're going to go to war with you and now we're going to kick all your military out. Please get us out of NATO. Please. And then all these wars with Russia will shut down just like that. And Europe's got its nukes, so Russia's not going to attack you. It's been the EU expanding up to the borders of Russia. And we know that. So these guys hold none of the cards, but there they are holding us hostage. We got to get these clips to Trump. I can't wait till he reads all these EU officials and NATO officials running their mouths. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
So, again, that guy is not speaking for NATO. This is just something Alex found on Twitter.
Great.
More importantly, though, really think about the mentality that Alex is expressing at the end there. He's excited about the idea of Trump being informed about a geopolitical threat that NATO is supposedly making by Alex showing him the clip.
Mm.
In Alex's conception, Trump doesn't know about something like this already, which to me sounds like holding comically low expectations for a leader.
Hmm.
If some pundit on MSNBC was playing a clip of a foreign leader making a threat against the U.S. during the Obama years, and the host said, "I can't wait until Obama sees that on our show," it would come off like a real dumb child. I don't want to bring this up to highlight any hypocrisy or play some what about games. I just really want to stress what Alex's behaviors would look like in other contexts.
Mm-hmm.
He looks very stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait until Trump sees this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a power in being willing to look stupid and being willing to look insane and being willing to look like this a while back, early on. This is different, though. This isn't looking stupid or insane. This is trying to look smart and winding up looking stupid and insane.
Yeah.
And that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a mix between like a really infantile mind that he has that is just inescapable. He can't get away from that.
Yeah.
And then another the other end of it is him needing to play stupid and like really make this content dumb.
Yeah.
Because the alternative is accepting like, here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's going to be, we're throwing the non-whites out of the country.
Yeah.
And we're taking over all the economies and fuck all the stuff that I'm supposed to have really held sacred.
Yeah. You know, I wonder, I suppose we'll find out. I kind of hope we don't, but we've been able to sell military action, to the military with an enemy. There's somebody attacking, there's somebody big, there's overarching, something like that. But whatever war is going to come next, it's impossible not to say it's for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like as an army, do we still have an army of conquest, an army that's just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go fight anybody? Or are these people actually going to say we don't fight for stealing shit?
I think that, it's an interesting question.
Yeah.
And I think that, unfortunately, I don't believe that all are principled.
Sure.
And I think that you have, you know, private armies that have certainly been risen.
They don't mind.
No. Yeah. So, like, I think that even if our standing volunteer army is like, nah, I'm not into this.
Yeah. There'll be a
way. I think you can find somebody.
Right. I just can't imagine the idea of expecting anybody to, like, deny an illegal order. Like, at this point, fucking soldier, hello, that's illegal. Mm-hmm. That's illegal. Like, what everybody is, everybody's doing illegal shit. How do you say no because it's illegal, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That's tough.
So, speaking of illegal things, ICE shot someone in the face. And that happens while Alex, I think it actually happened a little bit before Alex got on air, but he finds out about it on air.
Yeesh.
And so here is how he begins to cover the story.
Now, I've been telling you, the left can't debate us on policy. They can't debate us on economics. They can't debate us on culture. So all they need to do is create racial division. And they've been hyping a new civil war in America and having violent groups attack ICE and Border Patrol and openly saying, we need somebody to get killed so we have a new George Floyd, so we have a pretext to burn the country down, say Trump's a dictator, implement the martial law Podesta plan. Well, now we may have a candidate of that. I'm surprised this hadn't happened earlier with all the shooting at ICE and shooting them and killing them and ramming them and throwing rocks at them and all the rest of it. Witnesses report ICE agent shooting woman in Minneapolis after car crash incident. Oh, I wonder if it was a ramming.
So this is the first mention Alex has of the ICE shooting, and you can see how his default is to make the story fit his narrative, regardless of what the truth in the case may be. He's not interested at all in the details. He's not reporting on a breaking story. He's taking a horrible, traumatic event that just happened and demanding the audience view it solely through his lens. I get that everyone is insane now, but personally, I'm not going to dignify this situation as something worth arguing over. It's very clearly an inappropriate shooting carried out by an ICE agent against a U.S. citizen, and it should be treated as a possible homicide. I understand heat-of-the-moment type defenses and all that sort of thing should be litigated by a court and a jury. Anybody who sees who sees the details of the shooting and say that it's acceptable, that's not a sincere actor. You are not coming at this from a sincere place. You are a tool of state power, and yeah, it's fairly obvious.
Yep.
With Alex at this point in his show, I think his behavior is actually less nefarious than it could be, and that's only because in this moment, he doesn't know anything. He has no information. This is all just a knee-jerk reaction to breaking news that ICE killed someone. In the InfoWars conspiracy narrative, anti-Trump agitators have been trying to get someone killed so they can use them as a martyr. So it makes total sense for Alex to slot this in as the fulfillment of that prophecy. He's an idiot, and this is inhumanly cynical, but I really think that you can only grasp the depths of Alex's intentional depravity by seeing his reaction to this case once he has more information. It makes total sense and is boring evil the way he responds in the moment.
Yeah.
It takes more evil and intention later.
I believe you. I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
So as this news starts to come into place and people start, you know, tweeting about it and everything,
yeah,
there start to become visuals. And immediately after Alex has already set his narrative framework, he starts to see a little bit of video.
Fuck.
And yeah, the countless videos of them saying, get after him, attack him, and viciously attacking ICE. And already Walls is out demonizing them. Already, before we even know the facts, federal law enforcement shoots civilian in Minneapolis, city officials say, acting like federal law enforcement's military. See how they spin that? Like, oh, a civilian. And here's the video, breaking tear gas and pepper spray. Oh, turns out we're getting footage now. They were running around screaming, attacking, going after people. And who knows if ICE even shot this lady. Again, you never know when they're going to pull a false flag. And they've said one death, and they're going to burn down the country. And again, a bunch of middle-aged and elderly women, as usual, white women, virtue signaling, running up, screaming, pushing, attacking, ramming cars, all of it. And the left always cuts after they ram the car or after they attack somebody when they get slammed to the ground. I'm a citizen. I'm innocent. Why are you doing it?
So you can see in that clip Alex beginning to weave visual details he's picking up from early videos into the story. They're white women virtue signaling. He's blending his standard talking points and predictive narrative structure with the first little details that he's been able to take in about this shooting. This clip also includes an interesting condemnation that I'm going to pretend I don't quite understand, which is Alex complaining about Tim Walz coming out and talking about the shooting. He says that Walz is out demonizing ICE about it when we don't even know the details, but Alex himself is out defending ICE about it when he definitely knows less about this than Walz. If what Walz is doing is wrong and manipulative, then what Alex is doing is too, by default. If you believe that he's doing so, it would be okay to criticize Walz for jumping to conclusions, like if you believe that about Walz. But if that's the problem, then Alex shouldn't be doing the exact same thing too. He can't live in both spaces without pointing the finger at himself.
Yeah.
In the info war, there is no truth. There isn't an objective reality that everyone has to accept and events must be judged by. There is only narrative. Everything that happens is only as true or false as the story you tell about it. So if you understand Alex's complaint about Walz correctly, this is what he's talking about. Presumably Walz doesn't have any of the details about the shooting, and neither does Alex. Walz is putting out a narrative that it's inappropriate for ICE to kill people, and Alex's narrative that it's actually okay for them to do that. Alex doesn't actually care that Walz is talking about this case before anyone knows the details. That's what Alex's business model is entirely based on, and it's silly to pretend he cares.
Yeah.
All that matters is that you're not you're talking about this case before anyone knows the details. That's a valid criticism that non-insane people can accept about public officials, so Alex uses it to attack what he perceives as them building a narrative. The point I'm trying to make is that it looks like hypocrisy for Alex to be making up his mind about a story while criticizing Walz for already having made up his mind about the story, but it's not relevant to see this as hypocrisy. It's a rhetorical trick that he uses so he doesn't have to full-throatedly argue his real point. It's far easier for him to say that Walz is too eager to blame ICE for the shooting compared to what Alex really needs to do, which is justify ICE shooting a citizen.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So he hides behind this.
Yeah. Yeah, it is that form of hypocrisy that is misleading, like, you know, just Mitch McConnell's existence. You know, it's you think they're supposed to be doing one thing, but if you pull back, what's happening is they're trying to cut down a tree, and they don't give a shit what tool they have to use to do it. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as hypocrisy. There's just the tree is up or it's down. So I'll lie. I'll say this. I'll say the same thing you say. It doesn't. Nothing means anything except for the tree falling.
Yeah.
You know,
and understanding that things are hypocritical is good in,
yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
In a sense.
Learning and understanding the what it is.
If yeah. you are able to then grow from the point where you understand that this is hypocrisy and it does not matter.
Right.
The hypocrisy is a rhetorical trick that is being weaponized against you.
Right.
That's where it becomes relevant. If
yeah.
you stop at the hypocrisy point,
yeah.
that tree's coming down and yeah. you're never going to be able to
yeah.
even understand what their objective is.
It is, yeah, that is the early Daily Show. That mm-hmm. is what they were like, see if we expose hypocrisy, but they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it then.
Mm-hmm.
I think people understand it better now.
I hope so.
I would hope so.
But you never know.
You never know.
So Alex starts to see some images and starts to make up his own story.
Sure.
Stay back behind the line.
Back that up a minute. Back it up. Notice the bloody airbag. So let's back that up. What is the vehicle crashed into? Was this person, like all the others, ramming vehicles? What went on here? ICE has been extremely restrained so far.
So Alex is playing a video that shows the aftermath of the shooting where there's a bloody airbag deployed in the car. That was because the victim was shot while driving away and her car then rammed into another car because she was dead behind the wheel. Alex knows nothing about this situation. He's just making stuff up about the little snippets of video he's cold watching on the show and then trying to use whatever details he sees as proof of his predetermined narrative. There's a bloody airbag because this person rammed an ICE vehicle before getting shot. That's a possibility that Alex sees as maybe working to justify the shooting, so he's throwing it out there. That's
yeah.
probably what happened, because that works for me.
Yeah.
It's a sign of a liar.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, these people should just have a board. You know, they should have a writer's room and they should have a board that just is like, what are all the possible reasons people might accept where it's okay to shoot somebody?
Mm-hmm.
And then just pull them out at random whenever you need them.
But that's what Alex does.
Exactly.
Like, he might as well be that.
Exactly. It's just fucking, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Alex is developing this idea that that it was a ramming situation.
Which makes it okay for the ICE to kill somebody.
I guess so.
Yep.
Yeah, this is explaining the scene. Look at all the crash smash vehicles. Back that up. Look at her vehicle and then the smash vehicles around it. What do you think was going on there? You think it was a ramming? I'd say about a 95% chance. That's a deadly weapon. You've seen all over the country. They've been so restrained so far. They know they're going to have Soros DAs trying to put them in prison. You know they've been highly restrained so far. We're already hearing from Tim Walz and all of them that this is the bloody shirt they wanted to wave. Start over again.
So, yeah, I mean, you can hear Alex already being defensive about criticisms that people had, like the idea that the officer fled the scene,
yeah,
which he did. Like,
yep.
Whether you want to say he fled because of being afraid for his safety or to get out of there because
sure.
he shot somebody,
yeah,
who cares? He did do that.
Yeah.
He left and went to a federal building. So,
yep.
like, that. This is a criticism that people had, and you can hear Alex picking up on these things and justifying each new thing that he's seeing someone say on Twitter.
Yep.
And it's not a sincere commentator.
No. No.
It's almost like a media surrogate.
It's fucked. It's fucked. Because the point of it is like, for most people who, like, if you wanted ICE gone, you didn't need this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To push you over the edge.
Nope.
You know? But everybody is somewhat conscious that maybe some people need something like this to push them over.
Mm.
Right? And Alex is very conscious of that. And so all of this is focused on making sure enough people don't get pushed over that line of like, let's actually just fucking get rid of this shit.
Well,
let's actually just be fucking done with it.
I would argue that there's a little bit of that. It's pacification on one level.
Sure.
And then I think on another level, it is also hoping that people go over the edge on the other side.
Sure.
And start attacking
protesters. Be like, it's totally okay. Yeah.
Like, think that they're helping ICE
yep.
by killing a protester or ramming their car into a protest or something mm-hmm. like that. So I think it's double pronged.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is all in service of protecting and justifying the state power that he wants exerted.
Yep.
It sucks. It's fucking bullshit.
It really is.
So Alex plays some more video, and he's taking this all in. And you could just clearly see his editorial stance.
You got a bunch of leftists, again, if you're a radio listener, like hyenas chasing everybody around, attacking, trying to get the provocation. I can't believe they can even get ICE to do this job. This is how they invade us, human trafficking, all of it. Locking the vehicles, all the stuff they do. Because they're the white liberals. They're the saviors. They're the good guys.
It's fascinating to hear Alex mumble this kind of stuff over these videos because his career is based on way tamer videos than this one. And his insistence that they were all the police state. He spent years of his career whining about a video where troops are doing a crowd control drill and some teen improvised a line about how they can't do this to him because he's a citizen. The optics of that were so scandalous that Alex basically declared war. All that shit seems so quaint and dumb now. This woman was killed by federal agents on the streets in the United States. It's not a hypothetical. It's not some kid role-playing at some National Guard training exercise. This is real, and you can see where Alex's loyalties lie by his immediate response to this. And, duh.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if I could be on any team.
Mm.
I don't know if I could be on any team that could find a reason to justify this, you know?
Yeah.
Just like, I don't care if it is justified. It is not doable.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do it. You
yeah.
can't. Even if you think it's right, even if you think it's right in your head, you cannot do it.
Yep. The worst possible acceptable angle is this reveals a unacceptable force
Yeah.
You know, like,
yep.
This requires a deep level of congressional investigation. This guy needs to be stripped of his gun.
Whatever you like.
And position. Like, yeah. That's the least acceptable version.
Yeah.
Once you get to the point where there's justification involved, I think you have to be so far gone that I just don't even know what to do.
I mean, because at the core of it, that guy shouldn't even have been able to murder somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That guy shouldn't have had a gun. That guy shouldn't have been in a government agency. That government agency shouldn't have existed. It shouldn't be here. None of it should have even been able to happen.
Right. There's layers of abstraction come far before the actual incident itself.
Yeah.
And I think those are all valid conversations to have. I think people should.
Yeah.
But as it relates to, like, exactly what happened, I don't think that there is a good faith reading of it that cannot just be like, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
I think that is a line that people should understand.
Yeah. I mean, if you see something different from me, then we don't need to talk.
Right.
Because whatever you see makes the world so completely different from the way I see it that we don't communicate.
If you see something different, it means one of two things to me. It means either you are someone like Alex who profits off seeing something different.
Right.
And you are trying to Pied Piper people
into
a negative state.
Right.
Or you are lying about what you value. You are saying that this is okay because you want ICE to kill people.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that you can have sincere motives and justify this.
Can't.
No. And I won't engage.
How could you?
So Alex, I think one of the things that he wants to do is to make sure that all the people who didn't get shot at the protest, they all look as bad as possible.
Of course, they were
all so bad.
No, they're outside agitators, too.
These liberals out here don't have jobs. Most of them are managing NGOs. They're getting the money. They're out there to ensure all of this. The Somalis are their bagmen. And they don't want their precious illegal aliens with huge rap sheets and convictions for rape and murder being deported. These are agents with federal court orders, absolutely constitutional, doing their duty, surrounded and under attack. This is the UN globalist model. You have the UN head of the Security Council in Minnesota, Ohio, running large parts of the scam. They're finding individuals with hundreds of millions of dollars going into their coffers a year now. This is all about robbing the country, bringing the nation down. And Trump's following his duty. He's doing it, and 100% support him.
Which is why he's robbing Venezuela.
Unfolds. We'll see how they try to spin it. And, you know, in this hysteria, we hope the woman pulls through. But we're not going to get the true story from the left out there telling us what happened. We've got to actually see and get the facts here. But ICE has not really made any mistakes so far. I wouldn't expect them not to make some. So this could be their George Floyd 2.0 moment.
Insane. Just insane.
I genuinely, like, I don't know. It has to be something, because I just genuinely don't know how you can be so fucking political brain rotted that you can look at this and think that there is a right or a left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, fuck off. Fuck off. This is not like,
are you arguing that you're above the left-right paradigm?
We should redistribute wealth is worse than fucking capitalism. No, this guy is a government agent who shot somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that...
government agent who murdered somebody.
But like...
Murdered.
But I think that it's even kind of foolish to look at it as political. Because it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's cultural.
The idea of this, the idea of framing it this way, is insane.
Yeah, yeah. And arguing on that front, I think, is a fool's errand.
Yeah, it's just, it's absurd.
It is essentially the way that I see someone like Alex and people who would defend this. It's a proxy. This is a symbol of something that they want.
Right.
Which is state terrorism deployed against the people they don't think deserve to be here.
Yep.
Which does include people who would stand up for the rights of immigrants and
right.
And the like. So I think that no matter what the circumstances, you're going to get the same outcome.
Yeah.
For them, he's an avatar. It's not left or right. It's not political. It's not about the Constitution.
Nope.
None of that shit matters.
Nope. I would just, here's the thing. Here's the thing that sucks, right? Because if there were enough people, right, who are like, hey, I think we should openly say that the state should be a terrorist-run organization that murders people we don't like, right? Then we could just fight them.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's not enough, they have to lie about it. And that's terrible because people get tricked so easily.
Mm.
It's so hard to know everything that's going on.
And, like, I think that a pretty decent argument could be made that the reason that they're doing this in Minneapolis is because they couldn't do it in L.A. or New York or Chicago.
Yep.
Because people would fucking fight them.
Yeah, no, there'd be no, yeah.
There is enough, like, the large enough cities they could not pull this kind of shit off on.
No, there would be real burning of cars.
Yeah.
That shit would go down.
And I think that, yeah, that's why the full-throated argument isn't being made.
Yep.
Because the power base does not exist for them to terrorize all of us.
Right.
They can terrorize certain amounts at a time, but they're not strong enough.
Nope.
And fuck 'em.
Fuck 'em.
So Alex has media star Bobby Barnes on the show.
Because it's a legal thing.
No. He was going to come on already.
Oh, okay.
Because they wanted to talk about the New World Order that
right.
Trump is making with Venezuela.
Fucking hell.
Barnes is a little bit against it.
Yeah?
He's a little bit against the Venezuela thing. He's iffy.
Hmm.
And so the two of them were going to talk about that.
Right.
All right, riding shotgun with us is great lawyer, constitutional expert, real historian Robert Barnes. On the global political realignment happening, the seizure of this Russian tanker, the militias rising up in Venezuela against U.S. regime change, the U.S. saying they're about to take Greenland, Denmark saying that'll be an act of war, that they will go to war with us, they'll shoot first, ask questions later, close quote. This is all because the old order has fallen. Now there's a scrambling for the new order.
Just say you want a new world order. Come on, man. I dare you.
I mean,
just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Come on.
Yes.
We want an apartheid-based new world order. Just do it.
Just say it, because I want to edit it together with George H.W. Bush that you're so scared of saying new world order.
Yeah,
I want to make music videos of you saying, oh, we're bringing in a new world order. Come on. It'd be fun.
I mean, you kind of gotta.
Come on, dumbass.
And it's not even your fault. Any time-based modifier is going to look stupid as time goes on. Like, the idea of post-modernism. Fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Start over. We gotta redo all words.
Yeah, we can find new descriptors.
Yeah, we can't be having, like, post. Get the fuck out of here. New world order.
Fresh world order.
See, that's great. But any modifier that bases itself on time is gonna look stupid.
Yeah. So also stupid is Robert Barnes, and Alex doesn't really care too much that he's there. He can wait, because Nick Sortor is on the ground in Minnesota.
God damn it.
We'll go to Barnes in a moment, but first, we just talked to Nick Sortor, the incredible on-the-ground reporter, also InfoWars reporter, hosts his Sunday show with us. Nick Sortor is on the ground, embedded with DHS. They have confirmed to him that a woman, just in the last hour and a half, tried to ram their vehicle in one of these neighborhoods where this rapid reaction force of 2,000 went in to arrest illegal aliens with long rap sheets. And DHS has said that she tried to ram the vehicle. Last hour, I looked at raw footage, and you see what looks like a bunch of rammed vehicles in her car and the bloody airbag. So it looked pretty obvious to me that you've got vehicles rammed, and then you've got a DHS vehicle there, and you see the bloody airbag. She has now reportedly been pronounced dead, according to DHS sources. We just talked to Nick Sortor. He's coming on next hour on the ground.
So Nick Sortor is not embedded with the DHS as a journalist. He's there as a mouthpiece of the state. He's there to spin events in a way that state media surrogates like Alex can then report to their audience in ways that defend the narrative that maintains state power. This narrative that the victim was trying to ram vehicles is the first attempt to make something stick that exonerates the ICE agent, but it ends up not working. They later pivot to accusing her of trying to run over an agent once more videos released, but if that hadn't happened, it's likely that this would have sufficed for most of Trump's audience and allowed them to move on,
yeah.
Which is the role that Nick plays. He has been so seduced by proximity to power and the Trump administration treating him like he has something valid to offer in terms of media or journalism that he's compromised. He's been captured by the state and they can freely just lie to him and he will report the lie on Twitter and it will travel around to folks like Alex.
Yeah.
He's an essential piece. And granted, it's not just him. There's a bunch of hims.
Sure.
But yeah, they serve their purpose in the chain.
Yeah. You'd think after watching Spicer go, you'd be like, this is a short-term gig at the very most.
What about the mooch?
See? Mm-hmm. Like, don't be a mouthpiece of these pieces of shit.
No, but that's where Nick Sartori is smart.
Yeah.
He's not official.
Right.
He doesn't have an actual job.
Right.
He's a Twitter personality and influencer.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's the sweet spot.
Worst thing.
It is, but it's also the sweet spot for making those sweet bucks.
Yeah, just having a nice little lie shield around yourself at all times.
Yeah.
Great.
So Alex talks a little bit about ICE here, and I think that we all need to recognize that this is a huge problem.
I'm just surprised they can get ICE to even do this. It's such a dangerous job. And you've got all these virtue signaling white people out here so pissed at murderers and rapists and criminals and fraudsters are being, I mean, they got federal orders from courts, folks. They're busting drug houses and fentanyl houses and human trafficking houses. Telltale, they've got umbrellas to block their faces. That's an Antifa move. So yeah, they're trying to leave. They're blocking the road, attacking them. This is the provocation they want. This is what they're looking for. And then if Trump doesn't execute federal law and start deporting the illegal aliens, he's capitulated to them. Then they control the blue cities. These are really expeditionary forces into areas captured by the left in America. You look at 1917, the Russians took them a couple years to get control of all of Russia. First, they only had Moscow. That's what the left wants, control the main cities.
We just can't live like this. Like, on the one hand, it's unacceptable to view areas that vote differently than you want as enemy-held lands that need to be invaded. Once you have that view, there's no point in ever trying to engage in politics. Why allow voting if voting the way you don't want me to means you should get to invade and terrorize my city? On the other hand, it's particularly unacceptable for Alex to hold this view. It's such a betrayal of what he's supposed to stand for that his hardcore followers should burn down his studio. Like, this is a person who clearly is saying, hey, I fucked with you this whole time.
Yeah.
I didn't mean any of that shit.
Yeah.
Anybody who, like, has sacrificed for what they thought InfoWars was about, people who've been alienated from their families because they wouldn't shut the fuck up about Ron Paul or some dumb Bilderberg shit, people who have died because of this or lost loved ones to, like, this, they should be furious at Alex. He's telling them that this doesn't matter.
Yep.
The mentality Alex is expressing here is one that you can't really allow to exist, because engaging with it ends up becoming a trap. If your political enemies are actually enemy combatants, then politics is useless. If we accept that framing, then we become incompatible with each other.
Yep.
And I reject that. I don't think that people who have different political views, like in rural America, in deep red areas, should be invaded by the government in order to stop them from being racist, even.
Enjoy. If you're not bothering anybody, nobody cares.
Right. You can't operate in public spaces with racism. Like, you can't. You can't have a whites-only business.
Yeah.
And the government has an interest in protecting that. So if you're doing that, I understand the police being like, you can't do this. But if you're just racist, the state shouldn't invade you because you're racist.
That's the idea. That's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can't have expeditionary forces. You can't do this.
No.
You can't look at things this way or else we're done. It's done.
Yeah. I mean, I'll listen to propaganda I'll listen to you spout the state line over music. But if you're saying it over footage of that, let's fight. Let's just go. Let's just do it and then get it done.
Well, but
like,
here's the thing.
I can't hang with Alex saying that shit over
thing.
That video.
Right.
Fuck
and
off.
You're going to be looked at as the person who can't use decorum and you must resort to violence.
I don't. Use decorum. Fuck them.
Right.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get at is the point that Alex is making is if you are not in line.
Those are it's fighting words. It's extermination fighting words.
Yes.
You are not people unless you are who I determined to be people.
Yes.
Which is not in your control. Mm-hmm. It is always going to be in his control. Yes. That's the idea.
And
I get to determine who's real.
And it will never be like sincerely applied.
Nope.
It will never be coherently articulated.
Nope.
It will always exist. There will always be enemies to send expeditionary forces against.
Yep.
And Alex fucking understands this. His career is built on making people scared about it.
Yep.
It's fucking garbage.
Yep.
So anyway, Robert Barnes.
Sure. Media star Bobby Barnes.
Yeah, he's one of the good ones.
Yep.
One of the best. One of the best lawyers.
Man, he's the greatest.
One of the best constitutional scholars.
Probably.
And film critics.
I didn't know that.
Robert Barnes, thank you so much for being here. What do you make of what's happening in Minneapolis, Minnesota right now?
Well, I mean, it's the one battle after another script. The main movie that Hollywood is promoting to win the actually best film for Oscars, even though, you know, by most real critics, it's not a very particularly cinematically effective
Who's
film
a real
with a particularly
critic?
Well-known director, nor was it popular at the box office itself, despite having some big-name actors like DiCaprio and others as part of the cast. Sean Penn, you know, Benedicto del Toro, you name it. But the core of the film is to celebrate Antifa-type violence targeting ICE facilities and ICE individuals.
Sniping and like bombing and terrorism and hot sex when you do it.
Exactly.
These fucking clowns are so embarrassing, rattling off this bullshit when they clearly haven't seen the movie they're talking about. One battle after another doesn't glorify Antifa-style violence against ICE facilities, but you might think that if you only saw the trailer and saw a bunch of right-wing dipshits complaining about the trailer on social media. The actual movie is fairly indicting of how that kind of violence is frequently carried out by people who are superficially interested in revolution, but what they're really motivated by is the money that they make from bank robberies or the excitement they get out of creating their own criminal branding. The real revolutionary action in that movie is love and family. Leonardo DiCaprio loving and caring for his daughter creates a better future, not the bombs that he made when he was younger. Benicio del Toro is able to create meaningful resistance not by committing acts of terrorism, but by creating networks that protect children and vulnerable people. Also, is fucking Barnes saying that Paul Thomas Anderson is a no-name director? The guy who did Boogie Nights, Magnolia, and There Will Be Blood? The 11-time Oscar nominee.
No. What movies has he made that are widely celebrated as the best of his generation?
Punch Drunk Love.
Come on. What, like some sort of Gangs of New York?
I legitimately get them not liking one battle after another.
Sure.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It's fine. If you don't like it, whatever. It just sucks that they won't even watch the movies they're pretending to reveal all the globalists' big evil plots. It's fucking insane.
Yeah.
If you think this is predictive programming, watch it. Don't just watch the fucking trailer.
No, the worst thing I can do is dig past hitting gold.
Yeah.
And it turns out that all gold is on the surface. It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somehow other people are out there mining. Terrible idea. Just grab this shit on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's always true.
It's so funny to be like, oh yeah, Alex reads the white papers and the documents. He gets really into the weeds about all this stuff. He gets behind the scenes.
Yeah.
When he was like, you watched the fucking Hobbit third movie and the trailer from one battle after another and
yep.
decided you have a fucking worldview. Never dug deep, dick.
Nope.
Anyway, Barnes doesn't like one battle after
another. That'll happen.
Once this was done, I thought there should have been a lot more cultural condemnation of this film and its pernicious. I mean, I said that this film has the potential to be what Birth of a Nation was, the first movie ever shown in the White House by Democratic President Woodrow Wilson.
All right,
he
good
was
swing.
A film that celebrated
Try harder.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Come
and
on,
what
buddy.
Happened within a year, the Ku Klux Klan took off across the country, not only in the South, but in the Midwest.
You know things.
Indiana. Places like, you know, all over the places in New York, parts of the country, all parts of the country, in ways that the Klan had never been before. and it was a pernicious proto-fascistic force. I mean, it was really what was behind, you know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, when that, you know, then they burned
exactly.
down. What
was called. And I looked this up. There were dozens of films the last 3 years like this big budget one and like Civil War. So this is what they're planning. I just noticed that this woman got shot like an hour and a half ago. Instantly, the Democrats said it was a murder, George Floyd 2.0. And then you see all the smashed vehicles. Looks like a ramming. DHS says it was. That fits. We'll see the truth of this. We don't just take that as, you know, they're telling us the truth every time, though. They've been very accurate so far. But I don't think they're going to care one way or another. They're just going to spin this. How do you think we counter this?
They're going to spin this no matter what. How do we spin this no matter what? Also, just watch the fucking movie.
Yeah. Let's not even bother talking if that's your... If you've already had a foregone conclusion of what they're doing and what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
then just don't even bother doing it. Yeah. You've canceled each other out. Mm-hmm. You're just wasting my fucking time.
So Alex and Barnes, they are like, hey, you know, it's weird that we have a secret police. It is
weird.
It's weird that they're just like covering their faces and
probably
wearing military
bad.
Uniforms.
Probably real bad.
It's the kind of stuff that InfoWars has been historically
pretty
against.
Nazi shit.
We kind of need them to keep doing it, or else people will know who they are.
Weird.
I am bothered by the fact that somehow protesters know where ICE is operating. That's one key problem. But putting that aside, the other problem is the at least perception-wise, is should they stay masked and in military uniforms? I think that's the optics that they want, the other side wants. So if those
but
guys
we know
were
in Hakeem Jeffries and all of them a year ago said, we're going to dox you, we're going to harass you, we're going to come after you. I'm surprised they go out and get shot at and bricks thrown at them when they're just serving court orders. And I'm not all for paramilitary masks, but that's when you do it, is you wear a mask when you're being hunted. It's one thing if you wear a mask to be secret police, but if you wear a mask because you're following a court order and they're hunting you, I guess they're just supposed to go out and say, by the way, here's my home address, come kill me.
That's the problem. That's a conundrum. That's what I was curious your thoughts, because they're just finding in the polling data that it's resonating negatively, and the Democrats are getting their net plus out of the fact that, as you know, they have to be dressed the way they are to protect their own safety personally, and so that they're not doxxed, so that they're not harassed, so that all these things are happening anyway, but that it doesn't follow them home. And so very understandable and acceptable concern on their side, but it's playing into the Democratic narrative that they're going to re-script in all of this, because, you know, they're going to, as you point out, they're going to retell this story. This story is going to be nice, innocent, sweet middle America protester summarily executed by Trump's military force. Now, this is part of why I'm concerned about, you know, the Venezuela and other things, is that certain things make that perception easier for the media to get away with.
The truth?
I totally agree. This just broke. So it turns out DHS told the truth.
Oh, wow. That's breaking. I think that these kinds of things that Trump is doing do make it easier to form a pattern of behavior.
Sure.
And that is inconvenient for someone in Robert's position.
Yeah.
But also, if this argument holds, mm-hmm. why should any cop not be secret? There's a chance of reprisal from criminals for carrying out your duty as a cop. Like, why should any cop be public? And then when we're on the subject, why should any soldier? Why should any lawyer? Why should any judge? Why should any politician?
Yeah.
Like, why should anybody, why should you know who anybody is? There's a danger to knowing who anybody is. Why
That's
should
true.
Podcasters use their real names?
That's a good point.
This is dangerous.
We could get caught out.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that this is stupid.
Yeah.
If circumstances were different, they would never make these kinds of arguments.
I can't imagine, and listen, I don't know all of human history. Mm-hmm. I will admit that. I'll be the first to admit that. But I also know of zero situations where the masked secret police turn out to be the good guys.
Yeah.
I've not seen anyone. Not one.
I'm running through... The thing that makes me want to fight with you about
yeah,
it and
it's
argue...
Because you have to?
Cartoons.
Cartoons, yeah,
I think
that is
there
fair.
Might be some instances...
That's fair.
like of G.I. Joe or something.
Right. No, even Snake is the bad guy.
But do any of the Joes wear masks?
No, because masks are big henchman energy.
That's true.
You cannot be the hero. That's why, listen, frankly, if you're going to be in ICE, don't wear a mask because you're a fucking henchman. You're a henchman.
Mm.
Ugh. Ugh. James Bond villain lives through James Bond murdering hundreds of henchmen. James Bond lays waste to henchmen.
Now,
and the bad guy gets to go home at the end.
Right. Now, here is where I think that the Proud Boys got it right. They had, like, Rufio Pan Man.
That's true.
And based Stick Man.
They knew what they were doing.
They were Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yep.
You know, like, they weren't just normal Foot Clan soldiers who were walking around who were dispensable.
That's what I'm saying.
You need branding.
You can't be a henchman.
Okay, so, unfortunately...
And if you don't have a face, you're a henchman.
Well, that's not true. You can have a face, but maybe it's, like... a funny mask.
Sure.
Like a
dead presidents, like a...
No, I was like thinking like a Bebop or Rocksteady mask, like literally.
Straight with, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Sure, sure. As long as you've got some... But that's, again, that's uniqueness. That's standing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The henchman dresses the same in the same military fatigues,
all right,
in the same mask.
But unfortunately, I think that what we're beating around the bush of advocating for is pageantry and...
100%.
And maybe more...
If our law enforcement were essentially the Power Rangers, we would all be a lot more accepting of the terrible shit they do. Because, fuck, they've got style, they've got panache, they look like they're doing something important.
But they're also, like, there's a real threat. There's big monsters and shit.
Sure.
Like...
Well...
Look, if
I've watched true crime, there we could use Zords for some things.
If ICE was fighting against King Ghidorah, then like we'd have a different conversation.
It would be a different conversation. It would be. That's true.
So Alex has decided that there's some breaking news, and he has exonerated ICE of any wrongdoing.
Funny how that worked.
But he has not yet watched the new videos.
That is how.
This just broke. So it turns out DHS told the truth. Didn't matter, Tim Walz, all of them jumped the gun within minutes and said, no, it's George Floyd, they murdered her. No, here it is. Breaking video shows the moment a woman tried to run over ICE agents with her vehicle in Minneapolis, resulting in her being shot. And it goes on, them attacking them, throwing rocks at them, bottles, all of it. Agents, so again, breaking video shows the moment a woman tried to run over ICE agents with her vehicle in Minneapolis, resulting in her being shot. Tim Walz calling ICE Gestapo is exactly why this stuff happens. Shame on Walz and Mayor Fry. Fry said 2 weeks ago, ICE is going to be killed. So you got crowds attacking people doing their lawful duty, then them spinning when she got shot, saying they just killed her in cold blood. Leftist out there on camera saying, oh, she was just innocent. They just shot her for no reason. Again, paid professional liars finally getting what they wanted to. When you look at the faces of the people, once you've been shot, they look like it's Christmas. These agitators are so happy. They have apps the Democrats have set up. Different cities like L.A. and others have rapid reaction forces to send these people out to harass them. This is their plan. Let's go to the footage from the start. Here it is.
So Alex hasn't watched this at all, and he's really, really going hard.
Yep.
He's going super hard into... this proves it. Everything is proven. ICE is great.
Yep.
So then he plays the video.
Oh, yeah. That should... You don't do that.
They have not watched it in advance, so they don't know.
Why are they so stupid?
And almost immediately, him and Barnes both seem dazed and are like, uh-oh.
Oh.
Well, this is what they've been looking for. We can't really see the footage from the agent's perspective, but it looks like he is in front of the vehicle when she does that. Could you argue either way? Did he overreact? This is the hysteria, them throwing things, screaming at him, yelling at him. They've been wanting this. They've been waiting for this. We'll have to get the body cam footage and the other angles, but this could go either way here, Barnes. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Because I'm glad you re-showed that, because that's what I was curious, the angle, that particular camera angle we don't have, where the actual ICE officers are. I assume these are ICE officers rather than people guarding ICE.
Seems to be a little bit taken aback. You know, like that, a little bit
I'm
less.
I'm glad you showed a different angle. Is not what you say whenever ICE has been exonerated. Everything they've said is true. Yeah, that's
we're all
not how it
we're
works.
All good. And then you watch the video and you're like, I think this could go either way.
Yeah.
That means...
That's downgrading it quite a bit.
That means this video looks really, really bad.
You went from 100% certain to 50-50. That's a real big drop.
Yes.
That's a big drop.
So the two of them are struggling to sit in this space where they're like, self-defense, man.
I think we're against the government murdering people, but on the other hand, we're for the government murdering people?
It's, I could go either way.
It looks like his hands are basically down while the shots are going off, so we don't know who was out of camera angle there.
Right. Yeah, I am wondering who was it that did the... I'm thinking maybe it's the middle guy that pulled that did the shot.
Well, note to the left, if you go out and surround people and start ramming them and bashing their cars and throwing water bottles and rocks at them and screaming and all the rest of it, and then you got vehicles driving around, you know, it's not a safe place. It's not safe to be doing that.
Oh, and my view is this is likely self-defense. The it's not quite as clear as it could be, I should say.
This is not, this is bad. Like, Barnes, he's just sputtering, like, I don't want to say this is right? self-defense. We were primed, we were ready to defend this.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing this, and I'm not going along with this. This isn't as clear as I want it to be.
I'll tell you this, Barnes. Cochran wasn't like, I don't know, this glove might fit.
Uh-huh.
You know? That wasn't how that worked.
This is such a betrayal of their own, like, oh, no.
Their own self-image has been attacked.
They're seeing this video, and they're like, oh, shit, we have to defend this.
Not even we're cool with this.
Fucking hell, this is bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's a space that you can choose not to live in.
Yep.
You can be like, then I don't defend it.
Yeah, except when you play the types of games that someone like Alex does, and someone like Barnes does, you do have to play those games because you don't have another choice. The alternative is to, like, tell the audience the truth.
The truth? Yeah. Well, we're going to do something for the first time ever, guys. That's some fucking bullshit. And you know what else? Everything I've ever said is some fucking bullshit, too. We got to stop this.
Now, there's another interesting thing that I think is going on that I want to call attention to, which is Alex's once... It's clear that Barnes has a little bit of reservation about this. And Alex kind of does, too.
On account of it's a murder.
Alex says, hey, this is a message to the left. If you're going out there and you're throwing the bottles and all this stuff, you notice that he doesn't actually say then. He doesn't finish the if-then statement. Nope. Because he never does.
Well, the then statement is, then it's okay for the government to murder you.
Yes, and it is right for them to kill
will,
you.
As you can see right now... I will defend the government to all my InfoWars listeners, just to be clear. If you are murdered by a nice person because you might reasonably, having listened to InfoWars for your entire life, decided that the government murdering people is wrong, and then they murder you, I will say they were right to do it.
You're probably
Even
Antifa.
Though it's because of you listening to me that they did it.
And I think that there's something that goes through a lot of Alex's content that is this, I'm going to say the first part of the conditional statement, but I'm not going to say the second part.
Right.
Because your mind fills it in for you.
Yeah.
He never has to say the then part. He only has to say the premise.
Yeah.
And your brain makes the conclusion for you.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't have to...
He doesn't have to take responsibility for
the... He doesn't feel like he's responsible for saying, if you do this, then the police should be able to kill you.
Because maybe I was meaning to say something different. You're
right.
The one who jumped to conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously brought your own baggage to that as opposed to... correctly looking at the situation and observing what I'm saying.
Yeah. No. I think he does that a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
So we have one last clip here, and I think that it's because I want to leave with this impression. These guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen him in the earlier video. Now, I think it looks like he, the guy that was in front of the vehicle that she drove towards, you know, is the shooter here, but we're not sure yet. Well, they're going to definitely try to have a civil war over this. They finally got something.
Yeah. I mean, and they're going to keep building to this. And that's where, I mean, we have to enforce the laws, and we can't, as you note, allow them to just hijack cities by threats of violence. On the flip side, politically, you know, how Trump handles it in perception is going to matter, too, because it's unfortunately the reality of it. This is a narrative war as much as it is a digital war and an online war.
That's right. And once he learns more, you know, depending on what the facts are, he's just say, very sad they attack everybody. Very sad. It's bedlam and insane. So terrible. They shot up all these ICE facilities and shot up the vans and you know, killed these agents over here and did all this, and just show a reel of their violence for like 5 minutes and say, this is, and show MSNBC headlines. We need blood. We need to get in their faces till they kill one of us. Then we have a pretext. What's crazy is they admit the Podesta plan that, and they admit in all these shows, this is what they want. It's so crazy. So I just think Trump points out, they're the ones that wanted this. They're the ones that pushed this.
These guys are very clearly struggling with having just watched this video live on air and needing to make it fit the narrative that they're required to sell. On its face, this video is a murder. You can't watch it and come away with the impression that it was probably cool and justified. You need motivated reasoning to reach that conclusion. The narrative game that Alex had chosen to play was totally fine until that video came out, but now the story runs counter to what you would instinctually feel from watching that tape. And Alex just played it live on the show. You could hear it so clearly in Barnes. He knows what his job demands of him, but he's viscerally uncomfortable with having to show a video and tell the audience that their eyes are lying to them. The InfoWars narrative had already been set, and then the video plays, and it's not as clear as Barnes thought, which is fucking uncomfortable. But keep in mind, this is all just rhetorical narrative games, and Barnes knows that. He and Alex both thought that they could take this one head on and try to sell the story that this was an unhinged Antifa protester who got killed because she was ramming her car into ICE vehicles. But once that video was seen, they knew they couldn't do that and they needed to retreat to narrative. Now it really doesn't matter what happened in this specific instance. Trump needs to play videos of unrelated instances of ICE being attacked. They don't want to argue about the specific details of the shooting and how it unfolded because they just watched the video and they're pretty sure it's going to be bad. So now the shooting can really only be understood as part of a long line of events. Sure, maybe the shooting was bad, but it happened because the left and Antifa forced ICE to act like this. Maybe the shooting wasn't self-defense, but if you look at the big picture, it totally was. This is the information war, and Barnes and Alex both fully understand their part in it. In the moment when they've been forced to watch a woman be killed in the street and they then have to turn around and defend it, you can see how eager Alex is to do his job. Barnes is mildly uncomfortable and he sounds kind of like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But Alex is a fucking monster.
Yep.
And he jumps in without looking both feet down.
Moved on like it, like.
He's eager for it and he knows he does not have moral compunction. Which is kind of glaring in the presence of Barnes. Is like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does, like, put into stark relief that my estimation of Barnes goes no higher.
No.
But my estimation of Alex is more like, he is actually a legitimate psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, that's some shit that you only see when serial killers are like, yeah, I'd show up at their funeral. Like, mm-hmm. That's how fucked up that is. That's fucked.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to recognize this dynamic that is the, like, oh, yeah, this is all totally fine. Oh, no, it's not.
Yep.
Let's turn it into a piece of this other narrative. And, you know, like this dynamic is not sincere.
Yeah.
It is not somebody who is dealing with facts as they arrive to them.
Yeah.
It is somebody who is trying to spin the actions of a power for its, like, he is a tendril of the state. That's basically the only way to, and he has to know, he has to understand that is his existence.
There's no way to see that and not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just watched a person get murdered and now I'm going to say, well, it's because the left throws rocks sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no way to go from this, like, totally justified, everything's cool, it was a ramming, all this stuff, to, like, it could go either way.
Yeah.
Unless you are really desperate to not go past it could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, the most it could go either way is, that is you admitting, oh, shit, that's a murder.
Yeah.
That is as close to them going, fuck, that's a murder,
mm-hmm.
as we're ever going to get.
Yep. So we'll get back with another episode and get more into Alex's reaction.
Eesh.
And more of this as it evolves.
Yeah.
But I think that moment for them is something that is resonant. And fuck them.
If I was ever in that moment, it would be the single worst thing to know that it was recorded and other people could see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I could show, if it was unavoidable for people to see me revealing how fucking fucked I am. Like, truly, like, if I saw that video and then Bobby Barnes came into, like, a store, I'd be like, hey, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out. Go.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if there's any way to exile somebody or to shun them with as much visceral hatred as I can possibly give, those two people, after having seen that clip, get it.
My only reaction was that, like, Alex is worse, but then I realized, don't even say that. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, Barnes sucks. No, I'm not,
that's not worth arguing.
If our Mendoza line is Barnes, believe me, Alex is under it.
Yeah. The fuck this, fuck these guys.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the conversation will continue. Mm-hmm. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.